1 minute to 9 o'clock on a Wednesday with the legend that was Juluka, Johnny Clegg and Sipho Mthunu and the team that made magic.
Absolutely.
That song?
I mean, if you're ever homesick abroad, put some Johnny Clegg on and you'll start weeping.
Isn't it true?
It's just lovely, yeah.
It just is like that. Music is an amazing connector.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Music and sport tend to do stuff in this country.
I think people often forget that a lot of the close of apartheid and what really brought it down in the end had a lot to do with the cultural shift that we experienced. On the one hand, obviously, the likes of Johnny Clegg, who reached out, and now you had sort of this musical genre that included all South Africans, black and white. And then you had this revolution in the Afrikaans sort of community where they moved away from Gay Corsten and all of those crooners, and suddenly you were listening to people like Johannes Kerkorrel or Kwis Kombuis, James Phillips. Bernoldus Niemand, and all of a sudden this wave of sort of this yearning for freedom, to get out under the yoke of what was quite an oppressive regime towards the end.
Interesting. And then they came out with names that you weren't allowed to even say on the radio. Francois van Cooke and the lads, they came up with a name, Fork Off Polisiekar. And can you imagine on Five in those days? I mean, even now, SABC, you've got to say something else. But it's the title, it's the name of the band.
It's so good. I mean, we did free up, we lost our Verkrampthet. I often think that Verkrampt culture came from the lager mentality where, things were hard. People of the previous generations had a hard time in this country, and they sort of had this moral rectitude, which is almost sort of religion taken to an extreme. And everybody was so verkrampt and didn't express themselves properly and didn't say what they were thinking. And, that's always a dangerous thing in a society. You always end up going down a road that's probably not the correct one.
Here we are already deep in the discussion. We haven't even introduced our guest, Gavin Steinhobel, attorney at law from Kloppers Inc. Nice to see you on the morning
show.
Sorry,
Johnny Clegg always does that to me.
I hit the ground running, boy, I'm telling you. But it's good to see you, Gav, and absolutely right. It's so true. And now it's interesting to see Max Dupriez's latest missive, where he is absolutely almost incensed and livid, which was our word of the day today, at the way certain groupings of verkrampt hate have sort of almost hijacked the narrative in South Africa, presented a version of the narrative to the powers that be in America that have backfired terribly on South Africa as a proposition, and particularly the folk that they are trying desperately to represent. Because now it would appear that narrative, that narrow narrative, which is partially based on fact, but I think there's a lot of emotion and sentiment that's gone along with it, and I think some great distortion to a degree in certain quarters. Well, that's been seized upon by the Trump administration as a reason to issue the proclamations that are going to cause us all, in terms of financial consequences, some hardship. There's no doubt.
Okay, well, Dave, I disagree with Max completely. Right, I think
this is actually
here we go. We've launched.
Good. Yeah. Good.
Well, first of all, I mean, the two things that have caused consternation are not the only two things. All right. Firstly, the ANC government's been poking America in the eye for quite a long time. Our relationship with their arch enemy in the Middle East, Iran, is no good. I mean, that's irritating them in a big way. Allowing Russia to do military exercises at Simonstown, that's irritated them. Now coming out in the news saying that they're going to probably look to either Iran or Russia for their next nuclear program. They're firmly aligning themselves with the faction that is not the U.S. and not the West. And that's fine. That's what's caused the animosity, all right? Then you start looking for reasons to act.
Yes.
And those reasons, we've given them a plenty, but the fact that right after Davos, we go and sign the Expropriation Without Compensation Act was a real, real shock to everyone, even those in South Africa and those in the know, because that is a no-no internationally. It always has been. If you want capital flight from your country, which we're experiencing at the moment in a big way, unprecedented, and if you want to stop capital inflows into your country, you must undermine property rights, because nobody's going to invest in a country where your investment is insecure or where the state at any stage can take it from you. So, I mean, that is, and to say that, you know, the people that went and told the West that this is happening were unpatriotic. No, they're the patriots. They're the people who are looking after this country's interests. They're the people that are concerned that we're on the wrong road.
But is it in the country's interest, Gavin? And then if you give the pretext, now, we've just been listening to the tune that Johnny Clegg and Sipho Nkuna wrote to commemorate the Battle of Isandlwana. Anglo-Zulu War of 1879 was brought about by political meddling and by creating a pretext for a situation that should never have been. Because if you look historically...
Dave, don't you see the irony? Don't you see the irony that the people during apartheid who went to complain in London and in New York and in Paris... that the laws here were unfair and they were racially biased, were seen at the time as being traitors to this country. And we're doing it again. We're doing it again. You know, the BEE, there's a raft of BEE laws. There's something like 141 or something laws that are racially based in this country, more than there were during apartheid. You know, again, you know, that's wrong. That's not acceptable in any society, and it has to change. Now, it won't change because it only benefits a few, and the few are the very few people who sit in Parliament who are the only people that can change that regime.
Do you believe that kind of pressure. Okay, but do you believe that Donald Trump has the best interests of you and I at heart by the punitive measures that he is adopting for South Africa's economy?
No. What he's doing is he's completely going to change global politics, and he's going to say, well, remember, we've got a massive ideological battle on this planet, and it's been going on for some time, ever since Karl Marx wrote his insidious little book. And that is that, and it's been going on for longer than that. There's always has been, is government authoritarian? Does it rule from the top down, tell everyone what to do, what to read, what to write, what jobs to do, how much to charge for goods? Or do we believe in freedom? You know, do we believe in the sanctity of the individual to make his own decisions that he feels are best for his own life?
Well, those two systems... Have you looked around lately and seen what we're dealing with? Yeah. When it comes to people and freedom, it just doesn't seem to work.
Well, Dave,
I think we need a benevolent dictatorship or some kind of control.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the idea of freedom really stems from Christianity or the Judeo-Christian faith, where they had that imago Deus, we were made in the image of God, and then you suddenly said, well, you know, we mustn't subsume the individual for the collective interest, because the individual is in the image of God and we must respect that. And then suddenly you look at an individual in a different way. Now, if you look at that way of looking at the world and you look at the fact that all the countries that followed it, the West, in inverted commas, enjoy a lifestyle unparalleled to anything that's happened in history. They never, ever have to worry about starving, hunger, preventable disease, all of those things. Now, it's given us every single thing we have. And I have no doubt if we didn't have 150 years of capitalism in this country before 94, that everything we enjoy here, the entire economy would not exist. Okay, so it's a very powerful thing. And respecting freedom, and that's liberty, dignity, property rights, freedom of speech, all of those things are very, very important. And to come back to Donald Trump,
yes,
is he saying, right, guys, remember those values. Remember those
is
values.
Yes,
100%
he is. I don't know about Donald Trump's track record. Not great with those values. And, you know, here we've got a man who's actually been to Russia and had an opportunity to feel what it's like under the yoke of that dictatorial Putin regime. What is it like? What was your experience like?
Well, I mean,
and I'm not saying that this is, you know, but I'm just giving an example.
No, 100%.
Yeah. Look, I mean, so the region that I was in is a subtropical region. I mean, we were in Sochi. So that didn't have military activity And it is it's an annual event where 37 countries have students that are represented, and they're students who are represented from universities throughout Russia and high schools as well. So we didn't feel or experience any of the warfare that was taking place.
Okay, but what did it feel like? I mean, was it a society that was sort of downtrodden and Big Brother ruling?
No, not at all. I mean, every single grocery store or restaurant or any shop that we walked into or bumped into locals.
But they had shops and grocery stores.
Yes, everything's open. Everything's running. Everything's functional. And locals are super friendly.
Wow.
Beaches were packed. Tourists were out. It was, it really felt like a tropical holiday.
So this was Russia in the midst of a massive conflict.
Yeah. October of 2024.
It just goes to show that there are, you know, there's black and white, but then there are multiple shades of gray.
Well, there are no real shades. I mean, from 22 to 24, there were, I mean, I don't know how many Russian oligarchs fell out of hospital windows, and the richest man in Russia is currently in jail, and all of his property has been taken from him. You know, that is the power that Vladimir Putin has, and this is well known. You don't hear of Elon Musk criticizing Trump and ending up in jail and all of his assets stripped. So, you know, but you can on the ground, I'm pretty sure you can walk around in Moscow and be fine. And the point of the matter is that It's drifted back to a one-man state where one chap rules the show, and that has never worked out well for anyone. And if you want to know, well, have a look at the war they've been dragged into. It's the most sanguinary conflict, and it's the most stupid conflict, but there you go, 1.6 million people dead. So, you know, you've got to be very careful when you look at these things and say, well, you know, I think we as human beings have found ways that are fruitful and that work, all right? Like, just to give you an example, the ANC government has been, from the start, from the very first arms deal, an incredibly corrupt organization. Now, we know that corruption doesn't create anything. It only destroys. And if you look at all our SOEs, yes, it destroyed every single one of them. You know, if you look at our economy, well, we're growing at 1%. You know, 1% is just basically not growing at all.
1.7 is going up.
Call it that. But we're still growing at 25% of what other emerging economies are doing around us. So, you know, ultimately, it's been 30 years, and I think people are sort of, you know, the ANC's run out of excuses. Now,
I entirely buy what you're saying.
But that is because they haven't followed the idea of free markets. They interfere in everything. And clean government.
But do you think that the solution to our dilemma, which is clearly a dilemma, is going to come from Donald Trump's America?
Why does Donald Trump owe us anything? I mean, to be honest with you, we're like that kid in the school ground who's throwing stones at the bully. I mean, it's like, guys, really, seriously, if you want to pick your enemies, at least pick somebody in your own weight division, you know? It's really the most idiotic foreign policy. I think you couldn't make it up. The ANC will always do the complete opposite of what is good for this country, and they're not doing it for us. They're not doing it because they have some ideological drive. Ideologically, they are naturally communist. They're not doing it for any other reason than to line their own pockets, and they'll do it at the expense of the economy, like they have with everything else.
Oh, no, I can understand that, but getting back to the Donald Trump situation, he is declaring almost war in terms of economically on many countries, and South Africa particularly, because of allegations that have been brought to him via.
But those allegations are true.
I don't think they are. Well, no, I don't think there's been conflicts, but I don't think we're looking at
legislation
genocide.
On the books that says that you can expropriate somebody's property and pay them nil. Now, that to me is anathema. And every other country that's part of the West, that's freedom-loving, can see that is completely wrong.
Yeah, but they were talking about a genocide of white people in this country, which is clearly well, not the case.
I don't know. At Boeterville, they've got the 3,500 and something names of, yep. of farmers that were murdered on their farms.
But I reckon if you go to Soweto, or Alex, or any other enclave, you'll find as many victims of violence that are not white farmers.
That's fine. But if you take that as a percentage of those populations, it's minor. If you take the amount of farmers that were murdered as a percentage of the farming population, it is horrific. And, you know, when Julius Malema sings Kill the Boer, that's not helpful. And that's what's incites some of these people. And the problem that they found with the farm murders isn't just, yes, it could be opportunistic crime and poor people stealing from people who have, but this the sadistic way in which these people are brutalized and tortured before they die is the problem. That tells you that there's an ideology behind it. And I think that's the sort of thing you cannot brush under the carpet. And I do think it's the sort of thing that does deserve a spotlight. And you know what? If that spotlight is shone properly and it transpires that it's not true, that's fine. But these are the sort of things that you shine a spotlight on.
Wow. Gavin, once again, very, very, you know, it's controversial on steroids, and we've run out of time, which is a pity, because I'm sure that there are many listening to this who would like it to go on for a long, long time. Maybe we catch up again in a week's time.
We will do.
I'm scared to, though, because, my word, I know that we're going to be pilloried after this one, but lovely chatting, and if you need a good attorney in your corner, well, you hear how the man argues. I mean, Gavin Steinhabel. But generally, he's a property expert, so, you know, property matters are his fault, and Gavin, we'll catch up in a week's time. Thanks for the coffee. Thanks for the chat.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
The morning show continues.